live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I hope you all had a fantastic, fantastic weekend. You know, it was great to see football back, right? Just to see the Michigan State football team back on the football field. I know it wasn't a game of any means, you know, without a doubt. It was a different spring game, without a doubt. But it was just good to see Mel Tucker on the field with his team and fans in the stands. Oh, that was awesome stuff. Awesome, awesome stuff. So, you know, on today's Current Sports, I want you to hear what Mel Tucker had to say after the spring game. You'll get his big observations from the spring game, and he'll comment on the atmosphere and what that was like for him and the team. And you'll also hear from Michigan State quarterback Peyton Thorne, who, you know, when I comb through my takeaways in just a moment here, Peyton Thorne seems to have the slight edge over the Temple transfer, Anthony Russo. So you'll get to hear from Mel Tucker and Peyton Thorne from the spring game this past weekend. But, you know, I know that was a really, really cool event for those who were lucky enough to grab a ticket and attend that that spring game. And let's be real, it was a little different, though, because, you know, as Mel Tucker mentioned last week, he said that, you know, we aren't going to just split up the team in half and just have a game the entire time. What we're going to do, you know, at least throughout the first, like, at least 75% of practice is go through, like, positional drills. You know, it was weird because you turn it on and, you know, you immediately just see the players going into their respective drills and there wasn't a game taking place. So it was really interesting to watch. It really was. And what I will say is that, you know, from Jerry DiNardo and Lisa Byington was leading the coverage, both of them rocking the mic, and Lisa Byington, my former mentor. A lot of people don't know this. When I was at Channel 6, Lisa Byington was at Channel 6. She was, you know, just about to leave to go to this new startup network called the Big Ten Network. And Lisa mentored me for a year when I was in college. And, you know, I interned at Channel 6 for 2 years, and Pat Tiede was there as well, along with the sports director at the time, Fred Heumann. And I got the chance to really know Lisa and just how much of a pro she is. I mean, just a joy to work with her. She actually helped me shoot my very first stand-up. We'll never forget that. And, I mean, now she's a superstar, right? I mean, you know, now she's breaking barriers when it comes to women in sports broadcasting, you know, doing the NCAA tournament now on the regular, which is pretty remarkable. And, you know, for the first time, having a woman be a play-by-play broadcaster for the NCAA men's basketball tournament this past year. Again, she is a trendsetter, folks, and is breaking down these doors. But she led the coverage on Saturday alongside Jerry DiNardo, and then former current sports production assistant, former Michigan State linebacker great, who is now a member of Mel Tucker's staff, and he has a big hand in recruiting and many other things, player development. But the great Darian Harris was also rocking the mic. A lot of people forget that Darian actually went to school for journalism with a concentration on broadcast journalism. And, you know, he helped out with current sports TV a lot when he was a student. And now to see him just really blossom and, you know, do his thing, you know, not only on Coach Mel Tucker's staff, but also on television as a broadcaster is pretty awesome stuff. And I thought Darian Harris did a really good job, you know, manning the sidelines, giving us that firsthand insight, seeing as though he is a member of Mel Tucker's staff, giving us that firsthand insight into what preparation for Michigan State football throughout the spring has been like. And, you know, he was sitting there interviewing his boss, Mel Tucker, and then he also got the opportunity to interview two legends in Coach Mark D'Antonio, the coach that he played under, as well as the great Tom Izzo, who was in his house as well. But it was just awesome to see that, and Darian keep on shining, man. And he's a father-to-be as well. I saw that on Facebook, so congratulations. Things are really looking up for that amazing young man there. All right, but, you know, the spring game, when it came to the spring game, I got some observations. I got a few takeaways that I want to touch upon when looking at that spring game. And I want to start with the Spartans who were not in uniform. Yeah, I want to start there because there were 11 players who didn't dress for Michigan State's final practice. Many of them significant contributors along the offensive line, which was a bit surprising for me. And those included left tackle A.J. Okuri, left guard J.D. Duplain, offensive lineman Blake Buter, Luke Campbell, and also Justin Stevens. So many contributors on that offensive line not suiting up. The linebacker spot, which was already thin, did not have Chase Klein on the field, and starting defensive tackle Jacob Slade did not dress. So a top returning starting corner in Kalon Gervin, he also did not see much action during the scrimmage portion of the practice, although he was in uniform while going through individual group drills. So I don't know how much you can look into that. Other players who weren't available were wide receiver Ricky White, safety Michael Gravely, defensive end Diari Todd, tight end Adam Berghorst. So, however, Berghorst, he plays for Michigan State's baseball team, which also had a game on Saturday. So, you know, maybe he was just getting some rest. You know what I mean? Being a two-sport athlete is not easy. I mean, being a one-sport athlete isn't easy, let alone two. So totally get Berghorst there. But everybody else, I don't know. Maybe, you know, there's some injuries that occurred, and maybe you guys are just sitting out. Or, you know, I don't know. But that was glaring to me. I will say that. I'm like, man, where is this guy? Where is this guy? Where is this guy? You know what I mean? So many Spartans who did not suit up. So that was, for me, that was the first thing that I noticed when looking down there on the field, just how many people weren't out there. Also, I want to let you guys know that there will be a Michigan State kicker who is not going to be with the team next year. Jack Olson is set to transfer. And also, you know what? I forgot to mention this. I forgot to note this when making my notes for today's show. You know, I just mentioned all of the players who weren't available, and I mentioned Justin Stevens, one of those players on the offensive line who did not play during the spring game. And it's being reported now that Justin Stevens, he is going to hit the transfer portal. Again, the transfer portal has like completely changed the game that is college sports, right? And, you know, I don't know if we're going to see more names that, you know, I just named that did not play on Saturday, if we're going to see more names out of that bunch who are going to hit the transfer portal. But, you know, it was right after, you know, the spring game had wrapped up that this news about Justin Stevens, who was a redshirt freshman offensive lineman, that's when that news hit. And, you know, you look at the situation again with Justin Stevens and you ask yourself, okay, of the other players who didn't suit up, are they also flirting with, you know, the transfer portal, thinking that, okay, maybe somewhere else is better for me than being right here in East Lansing? But again, he's a redshirt freshman offensive lineman. He became Michigan State's 14th player to enter the portal since the end of the 2020 season. And this isn't a Michigan State thing, folks. I mean, we are seeing so many players at just about every single program in D1 college football decide that, okay, I want to try somewhere else. All right. But he opted out of his true freshman season due to concerns about COVID-19. He was a part of Mark D'Antonio's final recruiting class, so he's a D'Antonio guy. And Stevens wrote in August when he opted out, quote, "This has been an extremely hard decision, but due to the circumstances and with my main focus being my health and having a respiratory condition," end quote. That's why he decided to not play. So there you have that. All right, to the quarterbacks. Yeah, Peyton Thorne, as I mentioned, he has the edge right now over grad transfer Anthony Russo. Now, after finishing the season against Penn State, you know, Thorne took the initial first-team reps in most drills and scrimmages on Saturday, whereas Russo was kind of, he was like rotated in and out. Now, he has an edge experience-wise, Russo does. You know, coming from Temple, when you look at his numbers, I mean, he played more games, more snaps, right? Does have a bit of a turnover problem. I didn't know that he threw like 30-plus interceptions while at Temple until they brought that up on the broadcast. But, you know, Mel Tucker and offensive coordinator Jay Johnson, they have hinted that Thorne knows the system well. So, again, this thing is still jump ball. You know, this thing can go either way, even though, you know, Peyton Thorne seems to have the edge right now over Russo. That could completely change. Even though, you know, Peyton Thorne took, you know, the first team reps in most of the drills, that can completely change come the start of next football season. So, but both guys showed off their ability to you know, chuck it down the field and showed off that arm strength. Long touchdown passes to Jaden Reed and Cade McDonald. And that got a great response from the stands. It was very cool to see, you know, those who attended. It was about 6,000 who attended that spring game one Saturday, and they just went crazy during those long touchdown passes. But even so, keep in mind, though, that also the Michigan State defensive backfield is awaiting three transfers to help with depth. So even though, you know, Russo and Thorne were able to connect deep, Michigan State's secondary is still a work in progress and is still missing some pieces, which I'm sure contributed to some of those deep balls, right? So for a lot of different reasons, you have to take the Michigan State spring game, or any spring game for that matter, but especially the Michigan State spring game with everything that's going on, the transfer portal, you know, Mel Tucker. You know, I thought Jerry DiNardo made a really good point on the airwaves on Saturday when he talked about how Mel Tucker, you know, when you look at how a coach is hired during a normal college football year, Mel Tucker has been dealt the worst of hands, right? I mean, he's brought in here, the hire is made after, you know, the week of signing day, right? That's when D'Antonio left and Michigan State had to scramble to get somebody in. He turned down a job initially on Twitter, right? You know, go Buffs. and then accepts the job. Then he comes in, doesn't have many practices under his belt, and then all of a sudden, what happens? That's right, COVID-19. Totally throws him off in terms of preparation when he's still trying to get to know who the players are. He's still trying to get to know names. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Big Ten says, no, we're not going to have college football. Then they change their mind and say, yeah, we are going to play football. And it's just been a scramble. It has been a scramble, all the while trying to, you know, work from home and Zoom meetings and, you know, recruiting is 24/7. I mean, Mel Tucker has not been dealt the best cards. He has been dealt actually the worst cards. And then all of the turnover that you're seeing right now when it comes to player personnel and you're trying to get your guys in. So, you know, you look at Mel Tucker's tenure right now, and then you look at everything that's happened throughout his tenure, and he's only going into his second year right now, and you say, my goodness, and then you add in COVID, and then you add in the transfer portal. That's why you can't sit back, look at that spring game on Saturday, and start to make any kind of hard assumptions about how good or how bad this team is going to be this upcoming season. So take it with three truckloads of salt. You got to look at things, though, and you know, the offensive line for me, you know, keep that in mind, taking it with two truckloads of salt. The offensive line is clearly working through some injuries, though. You can make that assumption. And, you know, the first offense in an 11-man setting on Saturday was Jared Horst, James Ohanba, Matt Allen, Matt Carrick, and Kevin Jarvis. All right? Thorne and Kenneth Walker III started in the backfield with Jalen Naylor, Terry Lockett Jr., and Jaden Reed. But, you know, it seems like Michigan State has another competition to keep an eye on. Elijah Collins and Walker III took turns with the first unit. So I really like Walker coming to this squad. I think that he is going to push the other running backs to step up their games. And, you know, you read everything about this transfer from Wake Forest to, you know, rush for, what, 1,100 yards and 17 touchdowns in just 20 games during his first two seasons with Wake. And it just gets you excited, man. And Michigan State had some troubles in the backfield. You know, Elijah Collins, who, by the way, was dealing with COVID, you know, which contributed to his roller coaster. There was just no consistency at that spot. So, you know, you look at everything going on with the offensive line and the injuries and some turnover there. You know, guys not suiting up. And then you combine that with the running back competition now, especially that gets more intriguing with Kenneth Walker III being added to the mix. And that is going to be something to look at moving forward. Okay. And then I got a bonus one for you guys. Defensively, Angelo Gross, he played alongside Xavier Henderson at the safety position. Last year, Gross, he took snaps at nickelback, and with the cornerbacks wearing thin, it did appear that he would return there. Yet that wasn't the case. I mean, senior Michael Dowell was the primary nickelback with Justin White, Emmanuel Flowers, and also Zach Denha at corner. So that's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. But again, Michigan State secondary is still a work in progress, still may have some additions, and we'll see what happens come next season. But there are some pieces missing on that side of the football that Michigan State has to figure out a way to try to plug and replace. All right, but those were a few of my observations. They really, you know, again, you can't, again, I'm not going to sit here and be one of those guys that says, hey, look at this guy. He is going to be a star. Look what he did in the spring game. No. I mean, folks, it's a spring game, and these guys are just, you know, happy to be out there in front of fans, just, you know, showcasing a bit of what they can do. But, again, when we start to get to the real season, things change. The competition, you know, changes, where you're not just staring at another green or white jersey every day in practice. I mean, when you start seeing other colors out there on the gridiron, that changes the dynamic. Okay. But I will say this, if there's one thing, all right, if you're pressuring me to make a hard observation and a prediction about next year based on what I saw on Saturday, I'll say this. I think Kenneth Walker is going to be a serious player. I will say that. I think this transfer from Wake, I don't think I'm making headlines and saying that. I think when you look at him, he just looks like a baller. You know, whether it was a drill, a 7-on-7, or 11-on-11, Walker shows that he can be a playmaker. He has serious home run potential. He's got a quick burst. He can make defenders miss with his first step. And, you know, he can bring something that we did not see from the running back core from Michigan State last season. So if I'm making any kind of hard observation here, I'll say that Kenneth Walker is going to ball out next season for Michigan State. All right. Okay. With that being said, I want to hit our first break. And when we come back, you will get the chance to hear what Mel Tucker, second-year head coach of Michigan State football, had to say, as well as Peyton Thorne, who seems to be leading the quarterback battle between, which is really between him and Anthony Russo, in my opinion. All right? So that and more. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and what I want to do right now as we continue our recap of Saturday's spring football game, I want you guys to hear what Mel Tucker had to say, his observations being out there on the field on Saturday, as well as what Peyton Thorne, who seems to be the leading candidate for that starting spot next season for Michigan State football behind center, what Peyton also had to say. You know, it was a bit of a different spring game. You know, those who weren't there and tuned in via your television, you guys saw that, you know, it opened up and you just had Lisa Byington and Jerry DiNardo just basically breaking down position group by position group. And just kind of giving a recap of what happened last year and a bit of a preview as to what's going to happen the upcoming year. Players were going through drills. You had Mel Tucker out there with his mask on and, you know, tried to run an up-tempo practice and just kind of give fans a bit of a glimpse into what happens during practice behind closed doors that they don't, you know, that fans don't normally get a chance to see. They also, you know, they were rocking the helmets with the foam cushion on there. You know, it's amazing how the game is implementing now more safety precautions based on what we're knowing more and more of in regards to chronic traumatic encephalopathy. But yeah, you know, wearing those helmets now with the foam on to try and observe more contact, to try and protect the brain more outdoor on the field. That was pretty interesting to see because you don't normally see that during a spring game, right? And then, you know, just watching the positional drills and seeing how up-tempo it was. Mel Tucker, you know, Darian Harris made this point on the Big Ten airwaves during Saturday's spring game that Mel is big on tempo. You know, when you're running from position to position drill to position drill, you know, he doesn't care if you don't even know where you're going. Jog in place. You know, you should not be standing around or walking, and he's big on that. So, but anywho, a bit of what I saw during the broadcast on Saturday. But here is Mel Tucker and Peyton Thorne commenting on Saturday's Michigan State football spring game.
It was just really great to get out there, practice 15, and to wrap up the spring. It was incredible to have our fans out there and the band and the cheer team. And that was something that we were all looking forward to, just getting back to normal. Our fans are so important to us. The Big Ten Network, carrying the game, the exposure for our program, you know, for our young men, just working so hard this spring. I thought it was just a great way to wrap it up. And I felt like we got a lot of work done today, practice 15. We wanted to be efficient. We wanted to get better. Continue to gain ground and continue to build and in a relentless manner. So I feel like we were able to get a lot accomplished today.
All right. Our first question comes from Jim Comperoni at Spartan Mag.
Okay. Hey, Mel, what did you think about the quarterbacks and how Russo played at the end and at the 2 minute drill at the end and how Thorne played as well as Noah Kim getting some work with the threes?
I tell you what, you can see we have really good competition at that position. I thought all three of those guys that you mentioned as well as Theo and as Hamp Faye. I thought they all showed some good things. They made some good throws, made some good decisions. I'm sure we had a couple throws we like to have back, but just overall, I thought that we were efficient. It ran the offense, you know, worked to take what the defense gave us, and it was you can see where I feel good about that position. I feel like we're going to have really good production from the quarterback position this season.
And also, Ian Stewart had some big plays. That's a freshman. Looks like he's coming along a little bit.
Yeah, Ian's done a really nice job. He, you know, he's a very hard worker. You know, we moved him to tight end last season for a little bit. Then we moved him back to receiver. You see he's got a big body. You know, he's got good hands. He, you know, plays really hard. And so it was always good to see those young guys step up and make some plays.
Thank you.
All right, next we'll go to Chris Solari.
No, kind of building off that, you know, notice that one of the first things you do in going into this practice is come out with kind of a no huddle offensive approach. Is that to set the tempo, or why do you do that?
Well, it's a great way to get the practice going and start with a fast tempo and you know, guys getting the signals, getting lined up, and it's just something that we do quite a bit and that's just kind of the way we operate. So it's just a really good way to get things started.
And I was wondering, obviously you had a lot of offensive linemen out today. Was there any updates on them or any of the other guys who were out?
Yeah, I don't have anything right now. We may have something for you down the road.
Our next question will go to Matt Charbonneau.
Mel, I guess I'm asking a little bit bigger picture now that you've gotten through 15 practices. Obviously, we know you didn't have the spring last year. Can you try and, you know, wrap up what this has meant having these few weeks and where you think your team has grown the most over these last few weeks?
Yeah, I tell you what, the spring practice is a way to, you know, come out of our winter conditioning program and then get on the field and just get better as a football team. You know, we focus on being best condition. We really focus on improving our technique and fundamentals. We want our players to play fast. They play fastest when they know what to do. And so it's about, you know, teaching, motivating, developing. You know, we want our guys to play smart, you know, and so that's, you know, no foolish penalties, you know, just, you know, knowing the tempo of the practices, just real discipline. And then the physicality of the game needs to show up in our spring practice when we had the pads on. And so that was really our focus. It was the aggregation of marginal gains that we could kept preaching, you know, just relentlessly, just every day, each guy getting 1 to 2% better each day, every time that we're out. And then if you can do that collectively, that's how you have significant improvements. And so that's what we want to do this spring. Our culture is being cemented right now. You know, our practice culture, you know, on the field and off the field as we grow together as a team. And so I felt like we got a lot done this spring.
Thanks, Mel.
You're welcome.
Our next question, we'll go to Matt Wenzel with M Live.
Hey, Mel, now that spring's all wrapped up, I was wondering if you kind of update us on what the next dates are in the calendar. I assume some guys are going home now, but when summer program starts and fall camp and all that stuff, kind of what's as far as next steps ahead?
Yes, we're going to have finals coming up this next week, and then we'll have 3 discretionary weeks after that, and then we'll start our summer conditioning program, our Spartan training program for the summer, which will expand, you know, about 8 weeks, and then we'll get rolling into camp.
And I was wondering what you expect to see from the guys as far as now that you've got that whole spring practice in, or, you know, all 15 in and going home kind of with an outlook you obviously didn't have last year, and what you want to see them come back to East Lansing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? I'm having a hard time.
I was wondering with you guys getting the 15 practices in you didn't get last year, and the guys now having a little bit of a break, what you expect them, I guess, the outlook for them to have coming back in the summer, you know, now that you had an opportunity to accomplish things you didn't get last year?
Yes, we just want to continue to build and gain ground. You know, our players know what's expected from them, and we have a standard of performance. And so our guys are going to stay in shape during the discretionary period. And then we'll come back and we'll hit the ground running. We'll pick up where we left off. You know, continue to work on our schemes, offense, defense, and special teams, you know, our strength and conditioning, getting bigger, stronger, and faster, and also our team chemistry, you know, and our culture. You know, we'll have some newcomers joining us in May and June, and then they will join our culture, and then we'll move forward together throughout the summer and just get ready for fall camp.
Thanks, Mel.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question will go to Rainer Saban.
Yeah, Mel, I saw you guys did a few play action deep shots, and it seems that's a big part or emphasis in the offense. How important, though, in order to be able to accomplish that successfully, is it going to be to establish a really good running game?
Yeah, it's very important, and that's a great observation. You know, you need to be able to run the ball and keep the defense honest, and they need to be able to respect your run game, and that makes the play action game a lot more effective.
And going forward, obviously, it seems like with your program, you like to establish some kind of baselines. How important is it to have spring practice, given the fact that you didn't have it last year, to kind of establish baselines for the program going forward to be able to compare development, I guess, in future years?
Yeah, it's critically important because, you know, you establish, like you said, the standards of performance. You know, just how we meet, you know, how we practice, you know, each and every day, just how we continue to gain ground, just in a relentless manner, just getting better in all facets of our game. And you know, you practice, you know, a lot more than you play. And it's important to get those practices in, but that's how we get an opportunity to teach, motivate, and develop our team. And so we made the most of all the 15 practices that we had. I feel really good about how efficient we were. I'm really proud of our coaches and really proud of our players.
Beginning with Chris Solari at the Detroit Free Press.
Hey, Peyton, I know it's probably a little bit hard to kind of say where this competition is right now based on the back seven that you guys had to face and how thin they are and everything. But when you look at what both you and Anthony did and then some of the other guys at quarterback, where do you feel the room is right now going into the summer and the fall?
You know, I don't think I'd be able to answer that question as well as maybe Coach would, but I feel good about the spring I had. And I think that all of us had a pretty good spring. Obviously, each guy did different things well, and we're all moving forward, trying to play our best. And that's going to continue into the summer, into the fall. And yeah, I think I had a good spring. I think some other guys had a good spring as well.
How important has it been for you in particular? It seemed like you were getting a lot of the one reps. Just be kind of a leader with these guys in terms of what, and maybe what are some of the things that you're doing to be a leader with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that comes with quarterback position. And I've said this before, but you got to just be yourself. And when you're trying to be something that you're not, people can tell, especially teammates when you're with them all the time. So I'm just focused on being me and doing the things that I've been taught throughout my life. And encouraging guys and getting the best out of guys. That's the job of a leader, is to get the best out of the guys around you. And so moving forward, that's what I'm going to continue to try to do. And I know we got some other guys that are leaders for sure.
Next question comes from Matt Charbonneau with the Detroit News.
Peyton, now after a couple of years here and then 1 year in this system, where would you say your comfort level is with this offense at this point?
I would say extremely comfortable at this point after having last year and getting to learn everything last year. And honestly, I've said this before, but I think that COVID and not having spring ball last year was a little bit of a blessing in disguise, because we focused strictly on the mental piece and, you know, doing all the Zoom stuff for months. And we got so down into the details of the offense that I think it was beneficial. And I think that has carried over into this spring. And I've had a chance to really take a deep dive into the things we did last year. And then we got a couple new things that we put in. So I feel very, very comfortable with our offense right now.
And how does that relate to confidence for you? And not only you, but your teammates in you, you know, receivers having confidence. Has that taken a big jump, you think, at the same time?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously having more time, that's a chance to be able to get to know guys better in terms of football and getting that chemistry down and knowing where guys are going to be, and they know where I'm going to put the ball. And, you know, that comes with time. So I think that these last 15 practices and the winter has definitely helped improve that.
Our next question comes from Eli McCown at the State News.
Hey, Coach Aiden, I wanted to ask about the tempo today. It seems like you guys, whether it was offense, defense, or whatever, you guys had a lot of tempo, especially on the offensive end. I guess I wanted to ask, as from the quarterback standpoint, what is it like kind of implementing that more into this year's practices and maybe in the games as well?
Yeah, that's one of the first periods today, something we do pretty regularly. But you got to be able to push the tempo and change tempos, really. You know, that's tough on a defense and knowing when you're going to really push tempo and when you're going to pull back a little bit. So that's something that you got to get comfortable with. And everyone's got to get lined up quick. And the quicker you line up, the easier it is because it gives you more time to read the defense and see what they're doing. So,
all right, again, Mel Tucker and Peyton Thorne with their takeaways based on what went down on during Saturday's Michigan State football spring game. Let's hit our final break because time is moving here, and I'm going to put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports by hitting you with my weekend winners. Who had the best weekend in sports and beyond? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And, you know, I got a few weekend winners that I want to get to. Before I do, though, I just saw this news roll across ESPN's headline page. But Central Michigan quarterback John Keller was among two shooting victims at an off-campus party on Saturday night. Keller was in serious condition, according to CMU President Dr. Bob Davies, and another CMU student who was shot, Tyler Bunting, was in stable condition. I'm reading this from ESPN.com. Chris Lowe, ESPN senior writer, reporting here. According to the CMU student newspaper, CM Life, an investigation determined that several subjects arrived at a party and shortly after a fight broke out. Sheriff's Department officials said in a release that someone went to a vehicle during the fight, retrieved a weapon, and then started firing at the party. How scary is that? Davies said in the university statement that local law enforcement led by the Isabella County Sheriff continues to investigate the incident and is searching for the suspects involved. So Keller began his career at Cincinnati. He transferred to Pearl River Community College and sat out last season at CMU. But if there is an update that occurs throughout today, I will certainly bring that to you tomorrow. But I mean, how cowardly is that? Now, I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend, actually, about how today, man, you know, gone are the days where you just, if you got problems with somebody, you duke it out with your fist. You know, people are so quick to run and get a firearm and just be cowardly about it. I mean, my goodness. You know, you're duking it out. You're fighting. You may be losing that fight, so you decide to go and grab a gun. I mean, come on, man. So prayers out to John Keller. Hope he recovers well. And also the other CMU student, Tyler Bunting. Thoughts and prayers to them both. Okay, the less important matters. Again, weekend winners, who had the best weekend in the world of sports and beyond. First off, I want to give a big shout out to my man, Steph Curry, who is just insane in the membrane, what he continues to do on a nightly basis in the NBA. He is breaking records seemingly, I mean, it feels like by the game at this point, and I think he will and should be MVP for this season. I know you can make some cases for other players. You know, Joel Embiid will probably be, you know, my second pick in that conversation. But right now, I think it's Steph Curry, and I don't think Joel Embiid is really, really that close to what Steph Curry is doing in this league today. He had a record-setting month of April. It is April 26th today, so we still got, you know, up until Friday before this month is said and done. But it rolled on. This record-setting month rolled on last night against the Sacramento Kings as he hit 7 three-pointers in a 117-113 Golden State Warriors victory. And it set a new NBA record for the most threes in a calendar month in NBA history. Folks, he is at 85 and counting. He is at 85 and counting. And he's still, you know, this week, he's still got games left. You know, in this month of April, he's already included two major milestones. The first came back on April 12th when he passed Wilt Stilt Chamberlain to become the Warriors' all-time leading scorer. The second came during a stretch from March 29th to April 19th when he became the first player in NBA history at age 33 or older to score 30 or more points in 11 straight games, passing the late great Kobe Bean Bryant, who scored at least 30 in 10 straight games back in December of 2012. I mean, what he is doing, it just, you know, you have to pick up your jaw every time you watch this dude play. So he is the world's greatest shooter. He is the greatest shooter to walk this year green earth. All right. So I just had to include him a part of my weekend winners. I mean, that was a pretty easy and obvious pick there. The Warriors in this month of April, they still have two games left tomorrow. Steph Curry will go head up against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. And then on Thursday, the Warriors will take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I think, safe bet, he's going to reach 90. You know, we'll see where that record stands when it's all said and done in this month, in this week. Right? Okay. All right, and with that being said, I got two more. UFC 261. Was just, I mean, it was incredible. For all my fight fans out there, we saw some incredible action, and every fight was a knockout, folks. I mean, wow. I mean, the headline fight was Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal, the Florida kid who pushed Kamaru Usman in the first fight to the brink. It was a decision win for Usman, but it was not easy. Masvidal in that first fight only had 6 days notice because Usman's previously scheduled opponent had to drop out. So we thought this was going to be really, really close, but Usman delivered a punch for the ages, and he knocked out Masvidal in round two. But you also had Thug Rose Namajunas, becoming the first woman to lose the championship belt but regain it. And she had a round one knockout of Weili Zhang, who is an amazing, amazing fighter. Zhang is one of my favorite fighters to watch in the game. But Thug Rose, and it was a really cool moment, you know, before she knocked out Zhang. You know, she was just telling herself that the camera caught it. She was just saying, I'm the best. 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 Over and over and over and over and over. I mean, I just love the culture of fighting because, you know, when you look at even more so than boxing, in this regard, because you really get to see when it comes to mixed martial arts, these guys put their mental focus on display for everybody. There's a certain mental focus you have to have with mixed martial arts that is so beautiful. And I love, you know, unlike boxing, and I was talking to my stepdad about this on Saturday night, that unlike boxing, I mean, in boxing, if there is a loss, and look, there's a lot of corruption in boxing as well, which is why you see a lot of this, but you'll see a lot of boxers, if they lose, say, oh, it was a fluke, he caught me, you know, I don't give him any respect, I want a rematch. But in UFC, you rarely see that. When somebody loses, when an opponent loses, it is nothing but love, nothing but respect. They'll go over, hug one another, even pray with one another. There is this really cool respect that is so ingrained in mixed martial arts and in the UFC world that you just don't get with any other sport. So I thought it was really cool, man, to see Rose Namajunas, Thug Rose, put that on display, you know, saying, I'm the best, I'm the best. Giving you a look into her mental, you know. And I think that goes for any profession, that anything that you're trying to do in life, you have to really believe it. You have to speak it into existence. Words are powerful, man. That was one of my favorite moments. Also, Valentina Shvechko. She is just amazing. One of the best female fighters of all time. She beat a bulldog in Jessica Andrade. Jessica is no joke, but Valentina made it look just like slight work. Just easy. She's that good. She won by knockout as well. Uriah Hall and Chris Reedman. Let me just comment on that one. And the other fight was Anthony Smith KOing Jimmy Crute in an upset win there. And that was like the first big fight of the prelims there. But Uriah Hall and Chris Weidman, if you didn't see how that one ended, just 17 seconds into the fight, Chris Weidman went to kick Uriah Hall, hit Uriah Hall's leg, and Chris Weidman apparently kicked Uriah Hall so hard that Chris Weidman's shin just shattered. He broke his leg on a kick that he delivered. And it is one of the most gruesome injuries I have ever seen in sports. If you don't have a tough stomach, that, I caution you. If you haven't seen it and you want to check it out, I caution you. It is gruesome. And I had to turn away. I had to kind of get up. And actually, I went to the kitchen when it happened, man. And then my phone started blowing up. My stepdad's texting me. My homie Will is like, oh, my gosh, did that really just happen? I mean, it was just gruesome. And Uriah Hall handled it with so much class. He got on his knees and prayed for Chris Weidman. And then he got up and hit the mic and said, look, man, I thoughts and prayers to your family. I'm thinking about you, man. And I owe you a rematch. That's if Chris Weidman can recover from this, which I'm praying that he does. But it was very, very gruesome. But overall, UFC 261 was amazing. A lot of celebrities in the house. You know, Cuba Gooding Jr., famed actor, he was in the house. Chad Ochocinco, former NFL wide receiver, great. He was in the house. You had a lot of NFL stars. The GOAT, Tom Brady, was in the house. He was sitting alongside Mike Evans. Also, in addition to them, you had Antonio Brown kicking it with Jake Paul. the event took place out in Jacksonville, Florida, and it was just – and you had 50,000 fans there. 50,000 fans. Not many wearing masks, folks, if at all. So COVID ain't going nowhere. I'll just say that. COVID's not going anywhere. But quite the event on Saturday, folks. And then the Oscars. Final weekend winner, the Oscars. A lot of winners last night. You guys know I'm a big TV buff, but I want to specifically give a shout out to a few people here. First off, Chloe Zhao, best director. First Asian director to ever win that award. Just amazing stuff for her directing in the movie Nomadland. Also, Daniel Kaluuya, amazing actor. He won Best Supporting Actor for his portrayal of Fred Hampton in Judas and the Black Messiah. Shout out to Lakeith Stanfield, too, who was also nominated in that category. I don't know how you have two guys in that movie basically playing lead roles, but they were both nominated for Supporting Actor. I don't know. Riddle me that. And also, how about her? I love her music. Her, the artist, if you don't know who her is, H-E-R is her artist name. She won for Best Score. Or Best Original Song, excuse me. Best Original Song. And always cool, you know, when you see a mainstream music artist win an award, you know, for best song in a movie. So awesome, awesome stuff. And it was, and shout out to Questlove as well. I thought he did a great job rocking the ones and twos. It was a fun night. You know, a lot of people didn't enjoy it, but I loved it. I loved it. I thought they did a good job considering these circumstances. All right. That is COVID. All right. Okay. That will do it, folks. We'll see you on the Tuesday edition of Current Sports. I want you all to be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.